Real stories, reliable information, the latest technology and news. Welcome to the Plastic Surgery Hub podcast, connecting people with practitioners.
Hello, listeners. It's podcast time again, and I'm here today. It's Trish Hammond from Transforming Bodies, and today I'm here with the lovely Dr. Charles Cope. He heads up Dr. Charles Cope, which is based in Mossman, and it's also Infinity Skin Clinic as well. And today he's been kind enough to join us before his busy day at work, so it's really early at the moment, even though you won't release this early, but it's really, really early. He's joining us, and we're going to have a bit of a chat about breast implants, ALCL, all of the stuff that's in the media, and just kind of like to help you kind of navigate the sea of information that's happening at the moment about breast implants and breast implant illness. So welcome, Dr. Cope.
Oh, thank you for having me, Trish. It's great to be here.
Oh, look, thank you so much for taking the time, because I know you're really busy, especially today, and we really appreciate you coming to join us to give us a chat and talk to us and help us to navigate this sea of information that's happening this moment about breast implants, ALCL, and all the recalls that are happening and all of this as well. So just to shed a bit of light for us so that, everyone's not going into a panic. So just not in a nutshell, but what about someone who's got implants at the moment? At the moment, we're getting lots of inquiries and people having a big panic. I don't know what I've got. How do I find out? So what can we tell these people? Ladies, actually.
Right. Yeah. So look, the main message is not to panic and try not to worry too much. So I've had a lot of patients ringing the office and sending emails through. Now, look, these days, if in terms of what implants do I have, as long as patients can remember who operated on them, nearly everyone keeps their implant records forever. In Australia, you only legally have to keep implant records for 7 years, but most plastic surgeons would keep the implant records forever, which I do. And so as long as you can remember the name of the person, and sometimes it's difficult 15 years later, you can ring their office, they will have the details. Now, look, I mean, there've been, so what all of the fuss is about is the breast implant associated anaplastic large cell lymphoma.
That's the ALCL.
ALCL, yeah, for short. So ALCL, there have been isolated reports in the early teens, but basically the reports have been coming in since 2014, 2015. And there are now about 500 cases worldwide. Interestingly enough, there are about 100 of those in Australia. So we're out of proportion in terms of that. Now, you've got to remember that this is 500 people in perhaps 20 million people who've had breast implants. Mm-hmm. So it is rare. So it's an inflammatory reaction that happens with, we think, a low-grade bacterial infection mm-hmm. around the implant. That inflammation activates T cells, some of the immune cells in your body, and then that goes on really to form a lymphoma. So the first thing to say is that it's rare. So the most common implant used in Australia are mentor implants, and the estimated risk of ALCL with mentor implants is about 1 in 80,000.
Wow. Okay.
Which is rare. So to put that into context, your risk of actually getting a lymphoma during your life anyway is 1 in 50, 2% of people. Risk of breast cancer is 1 in 9. So really, your risk of dying on the road each year in New South Wales is 1 in 6,000. So if you're not worrying about driving on the road, then you shouldn't be worried if you've got a mentor implant.
Yeah.
So there are some other types of more textured implants, like Allergan implants, which have just been voluntarily taken off the market worldwide. So last week, the FDA asked Allergan to take them off the market because their risk is about 1 in 1,000 1 in 3,200. So it is much more common than the mentor implants. And so the texturing, the higher, rougher textured surfaces are definitely have a higher incidence of this. So in response to the request from the FDA last week, Allergan have now withdrawn their implants worldwide.
Wow, so that's a big call on their part too, hey?
Well, it's a very responsible call. So look, the risk is still rare, 1 in 3,200. But it's sufficiently different from some of the other type of implants like mentor implants and smooth tech, what are called nanotextured implants. And there may be some other companies that will have to voluntarily withdraw their products.
So for ladies that want implants, is that everybody? Or does that mean there will be no more implants?
So look, 3 weeks ago on the 11th of July, the TGA said that they were considering banning all textured implants in Australia. Now they haven't, they were meant to come out with another statement on the 25th, so last week of July, but that hasn't been announced. But really banning all textured implants, and especially the mentor ones. So the mentor ones have been around for almost 30 years, and a risk of 1 in 80,000 really is a rare risk. And most people feel that banning those implants with that sort of risk is an overreaction. So the main thing for people with breast implants is that nobody around the world is recommending that implants are removed. It is a rare condition. And basically, if you don't have any symptoms, then there is no reason to panic at all. So yeah. Obviously, if there are changes, so the most common presentation is a what's called a seroma, or a fluid around the implant, which happens suddenly.
Mm-hmm.
So if people have sudden swelling in the breast or pain in their breast, then they need to be assessed by their plastic surgeon. If they're completely asymptomatic, then there is no reason to worry about things. But if people are concerned, then the simplest thing is to have a breast ultrasound, which is a simple and inexpensive screening tool that could potentially pick up any early changes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, because what I'm getting at the moment is messages from people saying, or having a bit of a meltdown, but also like, oh, I've been suffering from this. I need to go and get my breast implants out. So, and of course, we don't know if that's going to fix it, but I guess if that's what you think that you need,
Yes, well, look, really, I mean, it is an individual choice. I've already seen two people since the TGA announcement 3 weeks ago mm-hmm. who are considering having their breast implants out.
Mm-hmm.
But that is really not being recommended, and there is nobody around the world that is recommending that implants come out.
Yeah, because if there's nothing wrong...
Well, what you've got to remember, I mean, nobody really understands why ALCL is happening now when these type of implants have been around for almost 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
something else has changed for the development of this in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
And so these implants were used safely in the 90s and the 2000s without any of these problems developing.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of research being done, in terms of what has changed. And there are some genetic and other factors that go into it.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, look, the main thing is that the risk is low. As I said, a yearly ultrasound is a reasonable option for people who are worried about things. But if there is sudden swelling or sudden pain, then obviously they need to be assessed.
Yeah.
It also, I should point out that nearly every person with sudden swelling or sudden pain in the breast is not from ALCL.
Right.
So there are lots of other causes for that sort of thing, and the most common thing is muscular injury around the pec major. Is a far more common of those sort of symptoms rather than ALCL.
Yeah, right. So basically, you know, like even if you do have a bit of a pain, it could be a muscular thing from around the implant. So don't go into a panic.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, right. Well, I tell you, it's sort of like for the people, are there people that, of course, there's going to be people that want their implants taken out and that's all there is to it, and they don't want them replaced. But what would you do in a situation like that? So you do, it depends how big the implant is as to whether they'd have to have a lift or not as well?
Yeah, so look, that's another issue. So if the implant does come out, then there are a number of options. I mean, first of all, there are modern smooth surface implants, such as the Motiva implant that I'm increasingly using, that's partly patient driven, but partly because I think they're actually quite good implants. And there's never been a case of ALCL associated with a smooth implant.
Ever so far.
So, I mean, the Motiva implants, there are now 5-year follow-up studies. So they've been around for sort of 6 or 8 years now, which is obviously not the 30-year follow-up of things like Mentor implants. Mm-hmm. But as I said, there hasn't been a case of ALCL associated with them so far.
Yeah. So for those ladies out there that have got smooth implants, like, you know, don't even think about it because, you know, there's not been any issues.
Absolutely. Yes. So if you have smooth implants, and again, I mean, when I was training in the late 90s, I worked with a surgeon who used smooth round implants. So those people really have absolutely no worry, you know, because there hasn't been one single case with smooth implants.
Yeah. And if you've got textured implants, which used to be called the old furry Brazilians, were there any other kind of names for them?
So the furry Brazilian are polyurethane, and they unfortunately have the highest chance of ALCL. Mm-hmm. It's about 1 in 2,800 associated with those implants.
Okay.
So for somebody with those higher textured implants, I think most surgeons will end up recommending that they have yearly ultrasounds as a check.
Great. Because if you have an ultrasound, can you detect the ALCL? Like what's an ultrasound going to do?
It can potentially, so the most common, so about 3/4 of ALCL present as a sudden swelling in the breast. But there are other presentations like a lump that develops in the capsule, and that sort of early change would be picked up on an ultrasound before swelling occurred. So it is possible to pick up completely asymptomatic, in a bit like breast cancer, it's possible to pick up an asymptomatic ALCL on an ultrasound. And again, the main thing to stress, so if the ALCL is picked up early, everyone is cured.
Okay. So it's not like...
It's not like breast cancer, but more than 3/4 of people with ALCL are cured and will have no long-term problems. So for that sort of the very earliest type lymphoma, it's not like a normal lymphoma, like Hodgkin's lymphoma, where you need radiotherapy and chemotherapy. Mm-hmm. So most people with ALCL just have the implant out and a complete capsulectomy and no other treatment.
Great.
And some of those patients are actually then having smooth implants put back in 6 months later.
Okay. So if you wanted to, you could, you know, like you could actually, if you had Texas, you could actually remove them and put smooth in if you wanted to.
Yes. So there are some patients, again, I've seen some patients who are, I've actually got one booked in a couple of weeks, who was having some problems with contracture with their implant anyway, but they're decided to change to smooth implants because they're having an operation.
Yeah. And does it make a difference whether it's under or over the muscle? Like,
No, it's related to the surface texture of the implant.
Mm-hmm.
So you can still get them with saline implants because it's the actual texture, you know, the surface rather than what's in them. So whether they're on top of the muscle, under the muscle, whether they're saline, whether they're silicon, if they've got a texture, then you can get ALCL with it.
Yeah, right. Wow. So things are definitely changing in the industry. Hey, so, and do you, can you tell, because I know that like years ago, like I've spoken to women who have no idea what sort of implants they have in there, don't know where they got them done. So is there any way that they can find out? There's no way.
I mean, it's very difficult for people. I mean, if the implants were done 20 years ago and they can't remember the surgeon's name, then really there's no way of knowing.
Ultrasound won't tell.
So just while we're on that, so that's one of the advantages of the new Motiva smooth implants, in that they actually have a micro transponder, a little chip in the implant that you can read with an app on your phone.
Mm-hmm.
So if people, you know, down the track can't remember what they've got in or they can't remember the name of the surgeon, they can download the app, scan their breast, and it will tell them what implant they've got in.
Fantastic.
Yeah, well, I think that's a fantastic technology, and I'm not really sure why somebody hasn't thought of that before, but it's definitely an advantage for the Motiva.
Yeah, it doesn't mean that you can track them with the little microchip, because when I first heard about the microchip, I'm like, what? You're going to see where we are all the time? So it's not about being tracked.
I don't think it's like a SIM card that's your location.
No.
In terms of other options, I mean, you asked about other options if people do want, the textured implants out. So the most common option that people will take up is to have them out, a capsulectomy performed and smooth implants put in.
With a capsulectomy, I can barely say, can you explain what that is?
Yeah, so when you put a implant into your body, because it's foreign material, your body recognises that it's not part of the body and it forms scar tissue around the implant. And that's what's called the capsule. So in most people, the capsule stays soft. But one of the potential problems with implants over time is that capsule can become firm, the scar tissue can become firm, just like some people get thick scars on the surface of their skin.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically a scar tissue that's containing the implant, and that's the particular surface that the ALCL is developing from. So if patients have their textured implants out, it's very important that the entire capsule is removed with the operation. Otherwise, if you leave a little bit of the capsule there, then they've potentially got the risk of developing ALCL, even though they've had the textured implant out.
Yeah, because I know that some surgeons choose not to take out the capsule, and I'm sort of thinking to myself, well, but wouldn't that just be floating around on the inside of your body then?
Yes. So look, if the worry is ALCL, then you and it can be quite a difficult dissection if it's in a submuscular position. But if the worry is ALCL, then the complete capsule would need to come out with the operation.
Yeah. And like, is that, can you do it all in one operation, like remove the implant, take out the capsule and put a new implant in?
Yes. That's a very common operation.
Okay.
So that's definitely possible to do that.
Yeah. And I think the main message is if there's nothing wrong, don't.
Yeah, so look, I mean, to summarise, the main message is this is a rare condition. Even if you've got the highly textured implants, the risk is still only 1 in 3,000. And to put that into context, you know, as I said, the risk of lymphoma in your life is 1 in 50. The risk of breast cancer is 1 in 9. So 1 in 3,000 is a rare risk.
Yeah. Yeah.
So really you shouldn't be, panicking about having the implants in. If you are worried, the simplest thing is to do a screening ultrasound.
Yeah. And are you offering them at the moment? Like, how does that work? Because I've been getting people saying, you know, who's offering, who offers breast implant checks around Australia? Is that something that you're offering?
Yes. So look, I'm actually seeing quite a few patients at the moment who are worried about their implants. So, it's a service that I think plastic surgeons need to offer for people.
And what about if they didn't have their implants done by you?
Yes, well, I've seen a number of people who've, been worried about their implants in exactly that situation. It's important to mention again, even if you have symptoms like swelling or pain or a lump, most of those things are not ALCL.
Yeah.
Well, they still need to be investigated, but most of them are not from ALCL.
Yeah. And so if someone has had their implant somewhere, they don't remember where they've had them, or they've had them done by someone who's not going anymore or whatever, and they come and give you a call and say, hey, can I please have a breast implant check? What would that cost?
Well, if it's just a quick check, we normally just charge Medicare for that.
Yeah.
If it becomes more involved, obviously, if they need an operation, later on, there are costs involved. An ultrasound in most places, I mean, some places will bill ultrasounds, but the cost can be up to a couple of $100 for an ultrasound.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But again, if you're worried for peace of mind, it's definitely worthwhile.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, so, which is really great to know, and I think it's so honourable that some plastic surgeons are actually offering that a free breast implant check, because even just to put people's minds at ease. So even if you've got implants, it's probably worth, number one, if you don't know who did it, hooking yourself up with, a plastic surgeon that you can actually know is going to be the one that's going to look after you and your implants for the next, however many years, So I'd be, if I had implants, I'd be like, okay, if I didn't know where I got them done, I'd be like, okay, I need to go and just, hook up with someone now so that I've got someone who's going to be my my implant looker after.
Yes. Well, look, I mean, I think plastic surgeons a lot of plastic surgeons will be happy doing that for patients.
Yeah. And interesting what you say about the fact that just because they may have a pain around the breast or something like that, it doesn't mean there's something wrong, because I had a breast reduction, so I have no implants, but I still have a pain on the right side of my breast from there. And it's not implants, it's just, probably scar tissue or something. I don't know what it is, but if I had implants, I'd be like, oh my God, there's something wrong, because I have got...
As I said, the most common cause is a little tear of the capsule from some sort of muscular overexertion or strain or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the vast majority of those, as I said, it's really nothing to worry about.
Oh, awesome. Well, look, thank you so much for your time today. It's been very appreciated, and we really appreciate it. I'll get this podcast put out there and share it in the group as well, because everyone's been asking questions. So it'd be good if all their questions can just be answered by you. That's really, really helpful. Thank you so much for your time.
Okay. Well, thank you for the opportunity, Trish.
Pleasure. And listeners, look, if you do have implants and you are worried, or you haven't done anything about it yet, or you want to hook up with someone, or you know, you want to have a check or whatever, do get in touch with Dr. Charles Cope's office. As I said, they're in Mosman, and he also has some medi spas as well, so you might want to have a bit of a treatment while you're there. but you can just look them up on our website, Dr. Charles Cope, or send me an email to info@plasticsurgeryhub.com.au. Thank you so much, Dr. Cope.
Okay, thanks, Trish.
Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
The material provided in this podcast is general information and does not constitute medical advice, nor is it a substitute for consultation and advice from your own practitioner. It should not be used to diagnose or treat any medical illness. Any medical or surgical decision should be made in consultation with your own doctor or practitioner and not based on the materials provided in this podcast.